thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So we're going to begin just reading Psalm 25. Psalm 25, reading in the ESV. Psalm 25. Okay, Psalm of David. And David says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies triumph or exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble in his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." Amen. The Lord add a blessing to reading of his precious word. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you that as we look at a few of these verses of your precious word, we remember, Lord, that it is indeed your precious, infallible, holy word. It is the word of truth. And we thank you, Lord, that you will impart to us, Lord, your truth. May it come, Lord, not just into our minds, but be deeply embedded in our hearts, so that, Lord, right at the outset of this year, we will determine, Lord, to not just read it, but to apply it and to live it out to the fullest sense. We pray, Father, that you will bless us, Lord, in this place this morning, moved by your Holy Spirit, and, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, just quicken the word to us and quicken, Lord, our spirits, Lord, that we may submit, Lord, to your will and abide in you at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so for a few minutes this morning, I just want to speak on guidance for fruitful living in 2023. Guidance for fruitful living. 2023. It is one of those things where when I looked at this passage and I began to peruse it, I sort of got things back to front almost in a sense. And so that's how I'm going to present it. In other words, I'm not starting in the first verses and working forward. I'm starting there about verse 12 or so and working backwards, and have a reason for that. It'll become apparent. I read a little quote which states this. It states, "True guidance is like a small torch in a dark forest. It doesn't show everything at once, but gives enough light for the next step to be safe." Well, that's how God often works in our lives. And the children of Israel, of course, had to learn the valuable lesson when they were journeying from Egypt to the Promised Land. They needed daily guidance of or from the Lord. And so when the tabernacle, that big tent set up in the wilderness, the cloud of the glory of the Lord's presence covered it. And at night, the cloud looked like a pillar of fire. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 17, we read, "Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. And whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped." And therefore, as J.B. Phillips in his commentary on this psalm puts it, the stops as well as the steps of the people of God were thus daily and divinely directed. Anybody like to have their stops as well as their steps directed this year? I would. So we, likewise, I believe, all need our stops as well as our steps divinely directed in life. And here's where I begin this morning, and I have unashamedly taken the headings from the commentary of J.B. Phillips and made them my own this morning for this purpose. The prerequisites of God's guidance we find in verse 12. And that's the first bit. As you can see now, I'm starting verse 12, working backwards. "Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose." It's not just a big key for the new year, but for every day of our lives throughout the year, these were the great prerequisites of Israel's guidance in the wilderness, and they are the prerequisites of our guidance also. Using the Hebraic tool of repetition, David sets out the idea of humility in verse 9, next to the idea of a reverent fear of the Lord in verse 12, and he sets it out like this. It is this humble, reverent person that can expect the gift of God's guidance and instruction. This is the person who will commit his stops and his steps to the Lord and to the Lord's sovereign choosing. The Lord will guide your steps and he will guide your stops when you do that which and he will grant you instruction. Instruction that no one else can get and few may even understand. But it is the whisper of the Spirit of the Lord into your ear for your steps and your stops. The Hebrew idiom for the Lord confides is the secret of Yahweh, which may here be translated by intimate circle in verse 14. The friendship or the intimate circle of the Lord is for those who fear him. We're talking about something of intimacy here. Not something of just a mere friendship that comes and passes, but an intimacy that we can have with the Lord so he will direct our steps and our stops. Proverbs 3:32 says, "For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence." Did anybody perhaps think about this throughout the last year, or perhaps in periods of your life where you felt the Lord took you into his confidence? And this is what the scripture is saying here. The Lord will take you into his confidence if you have the correct prerequisites there. You will fear the Lord and you will walk humbly with him. He will take you into his confidence. He will give you his ear. Those who are chosen by God and do his will are his confidence, as was Abraham when we read in Genesis 18, verse 17. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" No, because Abraham is a friend of God. He was in his confidence. See, H. Spurgeon said, some read it friendship. Well, that's what it says in the ESV, friendship. It signifies familiar intercourse, confidential intimacy, and select fellowship. "This is a great secret," said Spurgeon. "Carnal minds cannot guess what is intended by it, and even believers cannot explain it in words, for it must be felt to be known." Alexander McLaren said in his commentary, obedience and the true fear of Jehovah directly tend to discernment of his purposes and will besides be rewarded by whispers from heaven. Well, that's what I want for this year. I want whispers from heaven. The Holy Spirit whispering, speaking into our spirit. And friends, if we haven't got it, we've got to cultivate it. And it starts with a fear of the Lord and walking humbly before him. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him and makes known to them his covenant. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. That is our correct attitude towards the Lord. And he makes known to them his covenant. That's our correct attitude towards his word. So we have to have a correct attitude toward the Lord and towards his word. As J.B. Phillips in his commentary states, when David was writing this psalm, he was in trouble. He was in desperate need of guidance from God. His whole world had collapsed. This discussion of priorities, principles, prerequisites of guidance was no mere academic exercise. This was the heart of David crying unto the heart of God, and God is going to take him into his confidence. When we think of finding out God's will, we tend to think primarily in terms of perhaps a career or of some complication which has arisen, but God thinks primarily in terms of character, in terms of us. If we get our characters in line with God's word, then questions regarding our careers and regarding our complications will be resolved much easier because God will speak to us and direct us. The confidence of God. And so we looked at the prerequisites of God's guidance, but secondly, the principles of God's guidance. Verses 10 and 11, working back now, the principles of God's guidance. So if we have the prerequisites for God's guidance in verse 12, affecting our attitude to God and our attitude to his word, we have the principles in verses 10 and 11. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. We do love to quote the first part of a lot of these verses. And we often hear them quoted. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. And everybody says, amen. And amen to it indeed. For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now there's the condition. That is our consecration to the Lord. That's what that is. That's our consecration to the Lord, without which there's little point in us asking him, Lord, how can I have your intimate guidance throughout this year? Can I hear your Holy Spirit speaking to me as we walk day by day through this year? Well, for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Well, that is our confession to God. That's our confession to God. Our consecration to the Lord in the first bit, our confession to God in the second bit. If we don't get unconfessed sin out of the way, it will be impossible for us to hear what God is saying to us in the way that we should be hearing. Our consecration to the Lord and our confession of all known sin to the Lord are clear principles we need to have prevailing in our lives if we are to have an intimacy for God's clear guidance in our lives, listening and hearing the Holy Spirit. We have looked at the prerequisites. We've looked at for the Lord's guidance in verse 12. We've looked at the principles for the Lord's guidance in verses 10 and 11. Very briefly, I know, but that's time. Number three, the priority for the Lord's guidance. Stepping back, verses 8 and 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble or the meek his way. The number one priority is a person must be saved. That's the number one priority. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. Guidance begins with a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. David is occupied here with God's goodness, and Paul tells us that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And so a person must be saved if he is to have this intimate guidance from God. And therefore, the first thing that God reveals our need for is the need of salvation. That's our primary focus. That is our the priority. If God is revealing to you your need for salvation right now, do not put it off. It is the greatest and most pressing need that you have in your life at this moment. It should be your number one priority. For he says, in an accepted time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. The sin of procrastination, putting it off, may easily become the sin of negligence, and then that can become the sin of indifference, and finally the unforgivable sin of irrevocable rejection and unbelief. In the very first book of our Bibles, God's word said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So if God's spirit is striving with you, if God's spirit is speaking to you right now to be saved, then now is the accepted time. You will need to come before his strivings cease. You may have another opportunity, but it is presumptuous and it is dangerous to impose too long on the mercy and on the patience of God. It is dangerous. So I implore you, if you're sitting in the service, you're sitting on Zoom and you're not saved, then today, this moment is the moment you should close in with the offer of mercy and come to Christ. A person must be saved. The second thing in this is a person must be submissive. The humble or the meek. Will he guide in judgment? The humble or the meek, will he teach his way? One thing I have learned sometimes through the hard way is this. If we have our minds made up, there is no point in asking God to guide us. It's so easy to have our minds made up, to have it figured out our way, to consider that we have it all. And I want to say to you, it's a very dangerous position. We will rebel when God's will be made known if we have our minds already made up. And we can't be changed by the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Someone once said, a man convinced against his will is still of the same opinion afterwards. I'm not going to try and, this morning, convince anyone against their will. But if your will doesn't match the will of God, you're in a dangerous place. If we are to be guided, we must be submissive, as David puts it, we must be humble, or we must be meek. Are you willing this morning to be submissive to the will of God for your life? Or have you already got your mind made up, thereby what you really are doing is you are usurping the authority of God and you're asserting your will and your desires for the course of your life, and you're saying, God, here's the way I want to do it. And if the Holy Spirit said, that's not the way, my way, then you need to be willing to change. And I need to be willing to change. So many chart the courses for the direction of their lives, and then they race to God in when the insurmountable storm rages and other avenues seem exhausted, and they say, God, help me. And God's gracious and he helps. But he's saying, well, I hope you've learned your lesson now, because my will was the right way all along. It's not the Christian living as God intended for your good. It's a cycle of crisis management visits, when you just come to God every time there's a crisis in your life and you say, Lord, things are going awfully wrong. And God says, I know. I was trying to stop you all along. I knew the steps and I knew the stops, but you wouldn't stop. So in conclusion this morning, as time has gone, here's some principle I'll leave with you. God's guidance is divine guidance. You say, well, sort of, we knew that. That's not rocket science. But I say that because that's the quality of the guidance we need. That's the quality of the guidance we need. We need divine guidance, not the guidance of others, sometimes as good as it may be, but the guidance of God, the Holy Spirit. You make known to me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy at your right hand, and there are pleasures forevermore, said the psalmist. The secret is the guide. The secret is the guide, the Holy Spirit. That's the secret. When we were in Canada, we had an amazing guide, And I tell you what, for everything I needed to know, the secret was in the guide. And the secret is in the guide, the Holy Spirit. So God's guidance is divine guidance. Secondly, God's guidance is clear guidance. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Your life can either have direction or it can have dereliction, and the choice is yours and the choice is mine. Now, I want direction and not dereliction. God's guidance is continual guidance. His guidance is for our whole life, for the whole of our lives. Psalm 48:14, and that this is God, and forever and ever he will guide us forever, for our whole lives and for the whole of our lives. And lastly, God's guidance is gradual guidance. It is not information overload, but it is each step and it is each stop at a time. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. It is a moment by moment leading of the Holy Spirit. I trust that something of this morning's brief message will stick with preacher and hearer alike this morning for this incoming year, because I believe in our complex world, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need him. We really need him. Guidance for fruitful living in 2023. God bless you this morning. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.